Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. Let's look in our Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. Well, I really enjoyed the good presence of the Lord Sunday. I enjoyed the good crowd and the good number and the good spirit. I enjoyed the Sunday night, how that God worked in our hearts all day, and just the phone calls I've received and the kindness that's been showed me. And Miss Sheila and Jimmy invited my family over to eat with all their family last night, and they had a lot of the family over, and it made us feel part of their family. They got two families, a human family and a dog family. So I don't know which family I'm part of, but I hope it's a human family. But anyway, it was a good time. I want to pray for Dennis and Judy. They're downstairs. They're taking care of our kids. But I'm so glad to see you. Let's read the first 8 verses of chapter 41. And we'll also, Lord will, we try to open up the floor again tonight. We have that time to do that. I'll let you share any comments you'd like to give. But I love you, and I thank you for allowing me the privilege to open the Word of God and share with you what God has shared with me. I don't take that responsibility lightly. And my heart is clean, my heart is right, and I'm ready to be a blessing to you tonight. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored..." Keen, right? Kine? I always want to say keen, but I better get it right. We were doing something today. I forgot what it was, and I said, "You know, I have trouble spelling." If I write my sermons, I said, "Angie, is this how you spell this?" And I always spell it first, so I feel like I got a better chance of getting it right when I spell it first. So, well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Verse 3, "And behold, 7 other kine came up," and these are more or less just cattle, "came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat of the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good, and behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that in Christ's name that you would help me today. I pray that you would, Lord, be so gracious to give me clarity of thought and of speech. Lord, I desire, as I always do, to be a blessing, not a burden, to be a help, not a hindrance. So I pray that you would help me. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, bless these that are here tonight, those that, Lord, are part of this, Lord, maybe through the live web streaming, Lord, those that will be Lord, downloading this study in the days, weeks, months to come. I pray that you would use Open Door Baptist Church as we try to minister, Lord, not only to the sheep that gather in this place and call it home, but, Lord, to the sheep and, Lord, even to the goats of all the world. I pray that you would bless those that are working and are sick tonight. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you would heal their bodies, Lord, so they'll be back soon with us. Lord, they are an encouragement. They edify us in the faith, and we thank you for these that are here. What a real joy, Lord, a privilege that I have to be the pastor of these good people. And I pray You'll use me. Help me, dear God, I beg You in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Now, I'm going to do exactly what I did last Wednesday night. Make sure I don't have nothing in there, it won't fall out. Hello, Brother Hicks. Last Wednesday night, I stepped back to a verse before I got into the new study. And the Word of God is just so full of goodies that you can just see like you just get so full spiritually with that good food of the Word of God. And yet there's so much food that you may have missed. And so I want you to step back to the very last verse of the previous chapter, chapter 40. And it's going to be very important that I share these two truths, these two facts about verse 23. But you know what's happened in chapter 40. You remember that Joseph has been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was a man that had for days, weeks, months had been tempted to commit a sin, but yet he stayed faithful to his God. And you know the story how that she accused what she said, this Hebrew has came in and he's tried to take advantage of me. And so he was cast into the prison of the Pharaoh's prisoners. And while he is there, he is joined by the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And, of course, the butler was the cupbearer, and, of course, the baker was the, more or less, what we would simply call the cook. And the Bible says that they both had a dream on the same night, and they shared their dream. There was the butler that shared his dream, and then the baker. And you remember the interpretation, or I hope you do remember, that the butler had the dream of the vine that had the three branches, and the branches brought forth grapes, and the butler or the cupbearer took the grapes, and he took those grapes, and he pressed them in the Pharaoh's cup and gave the cup unto Pharaoh. And, of course, Joseph said that means in 3 days you're going to be restored back to your position. Then when the baker saw that 3 days later that he was done exactly what Joseph had interpreted or prophesied, that he told Joseph his dream. And of course, his dream was not as positive as the butler's dream. And he said that in 3 days, your head will come off your shoulders. Pharaoh will execute you. Well, we know that in the latter part of chapter 40 that we see the cup bearer, or this chief of butlers, is back in Pharaoh's court. He is there with the king of Egypt. And the Bible says that when Joseph, the last thing Joseph had asked of this butler was, whenever you go back to serve the king, the one with the final say-so, the final authority of Egypt, when you go back, he says, I want you to tell him that I am not a slave, but I'm a free man. I've been sold as a slave, but I'm a free man. I'm a Hebrew. And that I have been wrongfully accused, and I've been unjustly treated. He didn't go into details. We talked last Wednesday about how it's so easy to just rip people that have ripped you. I told my wife, I said, by God's help, I don't want to come down to their level, you know, that criticize and rip you for doing right. I don't want to do that. I want to be an example. Amen. And if we're not careful, so often we fall to their level. And I told my wife, I said, when folks criticize you and when they try to falsely accuse you and they unjustly treat you, don't give them any bullets to shoot you. And when you have a bad attitude and you run them down, then you're just giving them bullets to shoot at you. I want to keep my testimony clean, and I know that that's what God desires for all of us to do. So he simply says, I've been mistreated. Nothing wrong with saying that. That's the facts. I've been mistreated. I've been wrongfully accused. And he says, just tell the Pharaoh. Well, look at the last verse of this chapter, chapter 40. A sad verse. It's just so sad. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. I say, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I mean, I thought about the first thing I want to say about this scripture when it says that the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He did not remember what Joseph did for him. He forgot what Joseph had meant to him. And I thought about that when Joseph was here in this prison, Joseph, without a doubt, is God's ordained man at this time for Israel. God is using, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God has ordained Joseph to be at such a time as this. God's going to use Joseph to save the descendants or the seed of Abraham, Israel. So he's God's ordained man. He is a man of God. And he is trying to live right and do right. He has been unjustly treated. And here he is when he helps this butler. He could have said, hey, I've got my own problem. I've got enough people against me. I don't give a rip about your life. I got enough problems in my own life. But he didn't do that. He said, I want to help you. He said, through God, I can help you because God is the interpreter of dreams. Now, remember that dreams or having dreams to the Egyptians during this time of this biblical record was a religious experience. They worshiped nearly 2,000 false gods. And they thought a dream was a God speaking to them, instructing them in some way or something that they ought to do. And if they did not get the interpretation of that dream so they would know what to do, then they believed that there were severe consequences. They believed these gods would either kill them, kill their wife, their children, cause them not to prosper in their business affairs, whatever it was. And so to get the interpretation of this dream was a big deal to this butler. It meant everything to him. And so Joseph shared the interpretation but the Bible says that while Joseph was used by God to help this man, he was used by God to help the heartache and, let's say, the headache of this man. Don't you know he probably banged his head, symbolically I'm speaking of, that he just pounded his head trying to figure out what does that dream mean? What does that mean? But God had a man there that could help him. I want to say to you tonight that when people are put in your life to help you spiritually, physically too, sure, but let's go to the greatest help is spiritual help. When they do that, don't forget them. Love them, pray for them, and let them know that you appreciate them, but please remember them and take their name to the King. And I ask that you do that for me. Take my name, take my calls, take my situations and my problems to my King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second thing I want you to say about that verse of Scripture, not only should we be warned to not forsake those that have helped us, especially spiritually, No greater help can you receive than spiritual help. When things are right spiritually, things will get right emotionally. Things will get right mentally. I believe that. Now, I'm not going to say that if you get right with God and you serve God, all of a sudden you'll walk again, those that can, or you'll see again. I'm not going to say that. But there is a great peace, a great joy that will come in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind when you get right spiritually. What a great effect it will have in your life. And so the second thing I want you to see is that I've spoken a lot, and some of you may have heard this before, concerning the picture of Christ in the life of Joseph. Can I give you some examples? When we look at Joseph, we can see the Lord. First of all, both of these, Joseph and the Lord, were beloved by the Father. Both of them was beloved by the Father. This love was shown by a garment or a coat that they received from the Father. Joseph received a coat of many colors, signifying that he was the heir. He was firstborn. He would be the one that would be the patriarch. He would be the one that he would choose to be the one to continue on. Jesus Christ was given a garment of humanity to die for us. And yet he also was given, and people say one day Jesus will be crowned King of Kings and Lord. He's already crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's already been, Jesus said, all power is given unto me by the Father. So, notice also that Jesus, just like Joseph, was hated by his brethren. Joseph was hated by his brethren. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, the Jews, his brethren, and they hated him. They despised him. They rejected him. I'm showing you the picture of Jesus in the life of Joseph. Next, you remember, Jacob sent, the father sent Joseph to the brethren. He sent him out. God sent his only begotten son to this world. Joseph was sent to another country, a totally different world. Jesus was sent from heaven to our world. Can you see that? Notice also, both sons, Joseph and Jesus, were willing to go. Joseph did not fight Jacob when he was told to go see his brothers and all the way down to Dothan to see how they were doing. Joseph went. When Jesus was asked to go by his father, he was willing. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Also, Joseph, like Jesus, was falsely accused. Falsely accused. The brethren thought he had come to destroy them. That's what Joseph's brethren thought. But both men, both Joseph and Jesus, when I say man, God in the flesh, both came, why? To save us. To be a help to us. Both were unjustly treated. Both of them had their garments stripped from them. Joseph had that coat of many colors stripped and rent in two. Jesus had his garment taken from him before he was crucified, and they gambled over his garments. And then when we get to the last part of chapter 40, it's a beautiful picture of the Lord. I believe it's prophecy of the Lord's death on the cross. Now, as you see that, we can also see in Joseph's life, while he is in the dungeon of Pharaoh's prison, he's down there with, notice this, two fellow sufferers. Jesus died on the cross with two fellow sufferers. But I want you to notice the difference here. We know that one of Joseph's fellow sufferers was saved. He was exalted back. The other was condemned. With both of the Lord's both sufferers, one was saved, the other was condemned. And let me say this. Joseph said to one that was had been promoted or saved, he said, "Remember me," and he was forgotten. But the difference is this. Jesus was told by one of his sufferers, fellow sufferers, "Remember me," and he was not forgotten. Hallelujah. Ain't that great? What a difference. The Lord makes a difference. It's a beautiful picture of the prophecy of our Lord when he would come to this earth years later. All right, let's go to chapter number 41. I hope that you really enjoy that. Joseph said, "Remember me," and he was forgotten. He said it to one of his fellow sufferers. Jesus was told by one of his fellow sufferers, "Remember me," and Jesus didn't forget him. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Chapter 41. All right, now we're getting to chapter 41. Joseph will be rewarded by God. And he's going to be rewarded by God in this chapter because of his faithfulness and because of his patience. This was a man that is a wonderful example. Don't forget where this story has begun. Don't forget that all the way back when he was just a young fellow that his brethren hated him and that they sold him for money, just like the Lord was sold for money. And there was some hatred there. And he went and he thought things would get better after he was sold into the Egyptians and he was promoted to a place of authority in Potiphar's house. And then he was falsely accused and then he's in prison and now he meets two more of the Pharaoh's cabinet members or wise men or staff, whatever you want to call them. And he's still here. Notice verse 1 of chapter 41. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So often we just think, we know the story. Tell me the story of Joseph. Okay, Joseph was sold by his brethren. He went to Egypt. He's falsely accused of trying to take advantage of a lady. He went to prison. And while he's in prison, he interpreted dreams. And then right after the dreams were interpreted of the butler and the baker, he was exalted to be second in ruler of command of all of Egypt. That's not how it went. There was time involved in all of this. And it was God's timetable. And the Bible makes it very clear, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now, all this time, and this is more than 2 years, we're talking about 2 years after the butler has been promoted back to his position. And so it's longer than two, it's many years. It's almost, I think, 13 years have passed since he's been sold by his brethren all the way to chapter 41. 13 years has passed. He's for 13 years never laid eyes on his father. For 13 years, he's never had a chance like we would like to get back at his brothers. Never. He's never had a chance to stand before a judge and say, I want to vindicate myself. I want to declare myself righteous. I want to declare my innocency to the community and to this country. Never had that chance for 13 years. God would not allow it. But after the final 2 years of that 13 years, the Bible tells us the story of Pharaoh having a dream of all things. And the Bible says that Joseph was going to be rewarded in this chapter for his patience and for keeping his heart right and keeping his focus on God. Can I say this to you tonight? When folks hurt you, and we've all been hurt, and they try to run you down, destroy you. Folks that you have tried to help. You've tried to be a blessing. You've even been one to maybe train them and love them, and they hurt you. If there's going to be that temptation to get back and bite back. There's going to be that temptation to run down. There's going to be that temptation to try to find all the dirt you can about them. That temptation. Can I get a witness? I mean, is that not true? I know we're a Holy Baptist church, but I'm just telling you, it's true. There's that temptation. But if you yield to that temptation, then you will lose the strength to continue to do right and focus on. It is easier to go through a trial. I want you to hear this. It is easier to go through a trial of affliction or a trial of being falsely accused or being unjustly treated. It is easier to go through that trial when you keep your heart right. You pray and say, Lord, I want to focus on You. I'm not going to yield to that temptation to run them people down. I'm not going to do it. It is easier to go through that. But if you decide to yield to that temptation and you become so bitter and vicious towards them people, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to have a hard time in the midst of that trouble. I mean, it's going to be hard on you. But if you stay right, God will bless you. God will bless those that have the right spirit and the right heart. Now, You call sin sin. Sure you do. You don't say, I agree with it. Absolutely not. But yet, there's got to be a limit where you say, okay, enough's enough. I don't want to. I see the ugliness that's going on in their life. I don't want Satan to use that stuff in my life. I believe the Lord is too precious to me. He's too wonderful to me. He's been too good to me. I'm not falling in Satan's trap because the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. And so we've got to be careful with that. All right? Now, it took 2 years after helping the butler. 13 years total since I believe he's been sold by his brothers. 13 years. But finally, God is moving in Joseph's favor. That's what it means. It came to pass. God is finally moving in Joseph's life. Can I say this to you? Sometimes it may seem that you can pray about some loved one you want to see saved. Some husband, some wife, some child, some grandchild that you want to see live for the Lord, get right with God. You may pray and pray and pray, and Satan will say, God doesn't hear your prayer. God won't answer that request. God doesn't care. You stay faithful. You keep your heart right. You keep the right spirit, because when God finally moves, it's going to happen in a hurry. And that's what happened. When God finally, at His timetable, at His wise discretion, when He decided it is time now to move on Joseph's behalf, when He started, Brother Archie, boom, things started happening. And they happened in a hurry. Now watch what happened here. What's happened here, the Bible says that God began to move. Now, let me say this before we read any more. Patience is a thing that a lot of folks don't like to talk about, and people say, don't pray for patience. And I think, I don't know where the Scripture is for that. I never read that God said, don't pray for it. I believe if you pray, Lord, help me grow in some area of my life, and if that area is patience, then, right? So, we do need patience. I'll be honest. We need patience. I'll be honest with you. We need it. And we need patience. Do you know what America would be like if we took away all the fast food restaurants? Took away all the drive-thrus from Starbucks and McDonald's and Burger King. You can't go to the drive-thru to get your dry cleaners. You got to park and go in. Wait, can you imagine? No more online banking. Must get an envelope and a check and stamp and mail it. And I mean, can you imagine? Well, people just don't have patience anymore, do they? And there are times I don't have it either. And I'm just being honest. There's time I'm ready to go. I got to go. Do you know what the problem with patience is? The problem with patience, one pastor said, I wrote this down, or the dislike that we have for patience is, the problem that we have with patience is that we are in a hurry and we have a want it now attitude. When we pray, God, you got to do it tonight. You got to do it tomorrow. God, right now, or we just want it now. Come on. That's our problem. The problem is we want it now, but God is not like that. But we'll stand up and say, I love everything about my God. Boy, I love everything about Him. Do you? Don't get in a hurry. You want to get in a hurry, but He don't. He just continues to be God, continues to mold and work. And I tell you, that's the problem why we dislike patience so much, because we're in a hurry and God is not. God's already set things in motion. He's got the wheels turning. God is a God of providence, and He is a God that is directing things in our lives. And so we have to have patience. I want to say some things about patience. I wrote this down, and this is for me too. I thought this was good. Many people say, when they go through a trouble, grin and bear it. Grin and bear it. You know what the Bible teaches? When you go through troubles, sing and bear it. Sing and bear it. We're supposed to sing in the midst of our darkness. We're supposed to preach, I can't sing. I believe God's got a way by the time it gets to the throne room, it sounds pretty good to Him. Amen. It's not the voice, it's the heart anyway. Amen. Amen. Hollywood's concerned about the voice, but God's concerned about the heart. So, this is just not grin and bear it, but sing and bear it. I wrote this down about bearing things. Patience is more than bearing things. It is also accepting things. Oh my, what a truth. We've always heard patience describe it. Just bear it. Grin and bear it. Patience is more than bearing things. It is accepting things. There's times that I have to bear things, but I'm not accepting them. Come on now. Right? I'm not accepting, but I'm trying to bear them, but I sure am not accepting. But you know, when I find the times that I accept, it's easier to bear. But when I fight, it's harder to bear. God help us to not only have this mentality, gotta bear it! Just bear it. No, accept it and trust the Lord. God is doing a work in our life. The man by the name of Vance Harbner made this statement. He who waits on God loses no time. He who waits on God loses no time. Oh, I got to go, preacher. Time's a-wasting. You wait on God, you won't lose any time waiting on Him. The same Bible, can I say this to you? The same Bible that says, go ye, is the same Bible that teaches, tarry ye. At times, God will say, go ye. But also there's times where He'll say, tarry ye. Don't go anywhere. Wait on Me. And there's a sin, and we often know about the sin of procrastination. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of serving the Lord. And we know that we are not procrastinate and drag our feet, but it's just as much sin to get ahead of God as it is to drag behind God. Do you hear me? It's just as much sin to get ahead of God than as it is to drag your feet behind God. God help us. Verse 2, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind. Now, I love the way God is orchestrating this. Joseph is still in that prison. And, I don't know, some people would say, well, Joseph was dependent on man to get him out, because he pleaded with the butler to share his story with the Pharaoh. And they said, well, he was about, well, I don't believe that. Joseph had too much God on him, and God used Joseph in a great way. God just had to make Joseph wait when he was ready for him. Do you know that Moses, he lived 40 years, and then he became a shepherd? And then he was a shepherd for 40 years under his father-in-law, Jethro. And those 40 years that he was on the backside of a desert, tending sheep, God was preparing him. God was going to use him. And finally, after 40 years, God sent him to be the leader and deliverer of the children of Israel from the Egyptian bondage. 40 years is a long time. I read a quote yesterday. It said, one of the saddest things in this world is to see people succeed before their time. One of the saddest things is to see people succeed before their time. For them to rush and take, let's call it a throne of authority or position, before God gives it to them, there are sad consequences. It not only hurts them, but it hurts those that they have under them. And I tell you, we better wait on the Lord and make sure it is God's will. Well, I've tried to teach that publicly here and privately here too, from our preachers to all the way to our members here. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. And so He's waiting. He's being patient. And one night, Pharaoh calls up dominoes. And it's about 11:30, and he knows he ought not do it because his doctor said that you've got acid reflux and you don't need that. And he's already out of his Nexium or his Prevacid or his, even doesn't have any Ranitidines in the cabinet. And Miss Sheila's not around, or Archie, to give him any medicine. And he wants a pizza. He wants it bad. And he likes that pan tossed, and he likes extra tomato sauce. He likes that. All that cheese, and got to have it with pepperoni. And how in the world can you not have it with green peppers and onions and mushrooms? Praise God. And the more he thinks about it, he says, throw the anchovies on there too. Yeah, listen to me. And so he orders this pizza, and I'm just being comical. But anyway, he goes to bed, and the Lord, in His wisdom, allows a dream to come to Pharaoh by night. And the Bible says that Pharaoh dreamed this dream. And the Bible says that, and look at verse number 8, that it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them. Then spake the chief butler. Well, thank you, bud. About time you said something. I do remember my faults this day. In other words, oh, I suppose I told you a couple years ago about something, and I kind of forgot, you know. Pharaoh, I'm sorry, bud. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and he put me in the ward of the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, and changed his garment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, what's that? That thou, what's that? Canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, just like he answered the chief butler, just like he answered the chief baker, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Thank God for people that don't take God's credit. Amen? They say, to God be the glory. God did it. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind fat flesh and well favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill favored, as at the beginning. So I woke. And I saw my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one stalk full of good. And behold, seven ears withered thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. Remember, when we go to man or we go to ourselves for the answer, we always come away sad. But we need to go to God. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. So in other words, the seven fat calves are just like the seven good ears of corn. And the seven thin, ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, here's the interpretation. There come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Verse 36, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. In closing, the Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream. Of all the ways that God could exalt Joseph, all the ways, the only one, being in Pharaoh's prison, by the way, the only one that could set him at liberty was Pharaoh. You understand that? No, but even the captain of the guard, Potiphar's wife, couldn't have done it. I don't know if he's ever got over his resentment or what. I don't know. But only Pharaoh could have exalted him out of that dungeon, out of that prison. And that's who God worked in his heart, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh has a dream. And he tells about the seven fat cows. They came out of the river, and boy, they're feeding in the meadow. Boy, they're really having a good time. They are enjoying. The meadow is lush and green and full of nutrition and protein for them cattle, and they're enjoying. And while they're feeding seven ill-favored and just starving cows, I mean, you can see the ribs on these cows. They come up, and they go over there. Of all things, it's horrific. Them seven sickly, weak cows eat the seven healthy cows. Pharaoh said, that don't make sense. And the next thing, though, he sees 7 ears of corn. Oh, and how beautiful they look and how luscious they are. And then he sees seven corn that are thin, corns that have not developed. They look diseased. They are bad, 7 ears of corn. And yet the 7 ears of corn that are bad devour the 7 good corns. And what's left is 7 thin cows and 7 thin corns. They should have gained some weight. If the 7 thin ones ate 7, well, how many steaks is on a cow? If they ate 7 full healthy cows, why did they not gain weight? And if the 7 thin ears ate the 7 good ears, why didn't those ears become plump? Pharaoh said, "This is strange. Something's not right. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever dreamed, but there's something to this." And so the butler says, after all the magicians have came, and they cannot interpret it. They tried hard. They knew that if they failed, they could have lost their head. So they're trying real hard to interpret. Probably some of them made up some things. "Well, I'll tell you the 7 fat cows are, you know, but I don't know, just to look good and save their life." But Pharaoh knew that's not it. God put it in his heart. That's not it. And so the butler says, "Oh, I remember. Over 2 years ago, I had a dream. And there was a Hebrew boy down there by the name of Joseph. And he told me my dream. And not only did he tell me my dream, but the dream interpretation came true." And Pharaoh, exhausted by listening probably all day, I don't know, it said magicians throughout all the land came. I don't know how long this process was. It could have been a day, 2, 3 days, a week of just magicians coming in and trying to interpret this dream. What would happen if they did? He would promote them. They would get riches and they might become a right-hand man to Pharaoh. So they are coming from everywhere. Even people that never, maybe was unemployed during that time, said, "Well, that's one way to make some money. I'm going down there and try to figure this dream out." And they walk in with one of them Walt Disney magic hats on, acting like they're a magician. And they can't figure it out. And then here comes Joseph. But Joseph's not like the other magicians. He's a Hebrew. And he's more than just a Hebrew, but while those magicians are Satan's men, Joseph is God's man. God's man walks in there and Pharaoh automatically senses something's different about this old boy. And he tells the dream, and so Joseph reveals by God's help. God revealed it to Joseph. I believe while Joseph opened his mouth that God just flowed through Joseph and he told the interpretation. But it doesn't stop there. You want to talk about some courage? After Joseph tells Pharaoh the dream, Joseph decides to tell the Pharaoh what he ought to do. Huh? Okay, let's get this now. Let's see that. All right, look at verse 33. He just finished telling about the dream. Now, I mean, he's not only telling them what to do, but he's telling them to do it right now. Wow. Here's a man been in prison for 2 years. He said, "I don't guess I got anything else to live for. They're probably going to kill me anyway." No, he's got God's boldness and power on him. He's full of God. He says, "Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt." And he tells the plan how that for 7 years, the plenteous years, that this leader should go out and he should have people to work under him and go out and just gather as much corn as you can for 7 years and store it in a storehouse. And then when the 7 years of famine come, Pharaoh, we'll open the storehouse up and we'll put an open marquee sign out front saying, "You can buy corn here. When everybody else is starving around the country, you're going to make a profit because you're going to have the corn they long for." Well, Pharaoh liked that. That's a great idea. Prophet. Hallelujah. So look what happened. Hear it out how it ended, verse 37. "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants," he's going to act on what Joseph said, "Can we find such a one as this is? A man whom the Spirit of God is." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I'm Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Around 15 years ago, Joseph was just a young fellow that had been taught by his dad, who had been taught by his dad Isaac, who had been taught by his father Abraham, to forsake pagan idols, to forsake false gods. And Joseph, we know through the Scripture, was a man that followed after God Jehovah. He was a man that God touched and used for His glory. But 15 years ago, some terrible things happened to him. Some unjustly treatments, some false accusations. And he was so beaten up with false accusations and unjustly treatments that people thought he can't go on. He's done. But God had a different plan. And God was working. God was working. And so, Joseph goes into this seems like a downfall of persecutions and heartaches and troubles. But he never gets bitter at God. He never gets bitter at his 10 brothers. Remember, Benjamin was not part of that. He didn't get bitter at the Chaldeans that had sold him. He never got bitter to Potiphar. Do you think if he got bitter at Potiphar who bought Joseph, do you think that Joseph would have been allowed to be a ruler of Potiphar's house? The Bible says that Potiphar saw Joseph was favored of God. He never got bitter. No, don't sit there and say, oh, he understood everything. He had no idea what God was doing. None of us do. When we go through troubles and trials, we don't know what God's doing. But you better believe God is doing. God is doing. And we may not see it till days, weeks, months down the road. You stay faithful. You hang in there. God will take care of His business. God will do right. And true colors will come out, and God and His people will prevail. And if you keep a right spirit and a right heart in the midst of all of it, God's going to exalt you. And you'll be able to hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Joseph said to his brother, I had a dream. The sun, the moon, and the stars worshiped me. And they laughed at him and said, you're crazy. You're an idiot. How dare you say that we're going to worship you? We know what you're up. You're naughty. You're wicked. You need a piece of humble pie, bud. How are you to say? Joseph was only given God's word. He wasn't given his word. He was given God's word to them. Joseph didn't make that dream up. That dream came from God. God was prophesying to Joseph what he was going to do. Joseph didn't understand it, but Joseph knew those dreams were real, and he knew he did what? He took God's word and he trusted it. He trusted God's word. The word that he had was, Joseph, there's going to be a time in your life that you're going to be exalted. You're going to be one of authority. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but for 15 years, he trusted God's 15 years later, the only time that Joseph is not the main ruler, the big dog in all of Egypt, is when Pharaoh sits on the throne. When Pharaoh is off of that throne, Pharaoh said, he's in command. And he said there won't be one hand, won't be one foot come up against Joseph. God honored those in the Word of God that did right. And He'll continue to honor us if we'll do right. You've got a better chance of your prayers being answered. You've got a better chance, a greater chance, seeing your family member saved, seeing God do what you want to do if you live for the Lord and keep your heart right. The reason I want to live for the Lord, not only because He loved me and died for me, I mean, my goodness, the least I could do is live for Jesus. The least I could do is go to church and hear about Him more. The least I could do is financially give to the work. The least I could do is raise my family up in the ways of God. It's the least I could do. But another reason that pushes me and thrives in my heart, makes my heart pump for Jesus, is not only that He is deserving of that, but because I've got a wife and I've got two precious children that I would die for that are watching me. And they not only watch me when I'm in the pulpit, they watch me when I'm standing over there in the kitchen, when I'm in my bedroom. They watch me when I got the remote in my hand and I'm flipping channels. They watch me whenever I go outside and I'm in my yard. They watch what I do outside this church also. And they need to have a mom and dad that what he's saying in the pulpit or the Sunday school classes or wherever you say it, that you're practicing it down there at the house. What kind of Christian are you at home? You know, you spend more time at home than you do anywhere else. I don't have the statistics. I counted it all up. How many hours you spend in a 50-year-old life at work, in the bed, asleep, at church. And it's a small percentage we spend at church. Small percentage. But yet, the highest percentage we spend our time is at our house, our home. And that's where our kids and grandkids and family members, husbands and wives are watching us. You can stand up here and say you love God. You can stand up and say, I'm a good Christian. I want to do right. But people know what you are at the house. They know what you are at the house. And you can fool the preacher man, but you won't fool God. We got to get right. And we got to understand God knows where our heart is tonight. And when we do right, God will bless. I want to live for the Lord because I've got two children that I love. I love. I love with all my heart. And I don't want to be the reason because I fail. And I don't get, if I do fail, if I don't get right with God, and if I get bitter, and I quit preaching, I quit going to church all day, I just quit it. And I go off and do something else. I don't want my two children to look at that and say, there's nothing to church. There's nothing to this God. There's nothing to being a Christian. There's nothing to it. And see them grow up and pay consequences for not living for Jesus. You better be careful how we live. Amen. God help us. So now they're saying, who is that in that chariot? His name is Joseph. And the servants that are running with the chariots, they say, bow the knee! Bow the knee! Bow the knee! And people begin to bow. And Joseph is in that chair, not arrogant, not cocky, but he's in there knowing that God promoted him. He's riding in that chariot knowing the responsibility that God's laid on his shoulder, but yet the blessing that he's experiencing. And he's thinking to himself while he's in that chariot and people are bowing down. He is thinking, thanks be unto my God that I did right. Thanks be unto God that I kept my heart right. Thanks be unto God that I kept my spirit right. Thanks be unto God when Satan said, turn away from that God, that I stayed with them, that I didn't forsake them, that I didn't run, but I stayed with God. Thanks be unto God. When it's all said and done, when you're exalted one day and rewarded in heaven, you're going to take them crowns and them rewards and you're going to say, I give them right back. Because without you, I'd be in hell. Without you. And you'll say in your heart, you'll say, thank God. When you finally see Him face to face, the one who bled and died, you'll say, thank God that I did right. Thank God that I lived right. Thank God I know I wasn't perfect, but I tried my best to live for Jesus. Thank God. Hallelujah. God may help us to do what is right.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.